How safe are you when you're rolling a J? How about when you're completely wrecked or stoned? You probably think you have to be heavy if you smoke the weed. This is James Franciscus, and you probably think I've got a lot of nerve talking down to you. Believe me, I'm not. I'm just giving you some questions. You'll have to supply the answers. Don't learn them the hard way. Remember, in a combat zone, how heavy is dead.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it. Or being free will just be words and nothing more.
What's the matter, cupcake? Winter's here and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour. Car won't start. Mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail. Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck. Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
And now, a moment of bliss, courtesy of Iron Mike's Military Exchange and Camping Supply.
My Wooby, you swept me off my feet and put into my heart such fiery heat. At first sight, I would not have known the kind of warmth and protection I'd be shown. You've helped me through the good and bad. For being issued you, I am so glad. You are my warmth and soulmate, and we both know that it's fate. Forever, I will hold you tight. Because of you, I know I'll never be cold. I'm yours, and you are mine. Forever and ever will be just fine. And on the eighth day, God created the poncho liner, and the infantry was very thankful.
The American-made military-issue poncho liner, available in assorted colors along with the USGI poncho to create a ranger bag. Available at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332, Canandaigua. Visit online at ironmikes.co.
Whoa! We're down south in the rain and the heat. Sure gets hot down there, cooking egg on the concrete. And everybody on the city street.
Good morning and welcome to Canandaigua 1310. Three men and a microphone, WOKR 1310 Canandaigua. We are live on Civil War Radio, and it is a free day soon. No more government, no more rent, no more mortgages. By the way, I've done with everything I have. I'm not, this is my license. This is my mortgage. What else can I rip up? My passport. No more government. I am free. I'm not going to do anything. Pistols for everyone. What do you think, Armand? It's a free world at 5 o'clock tonight. Unless they pass it. They pass something. Which they will.
How do you want to do this? You want to do our Civil War segment first, talk a little bit of education about the Constitution, get that out of the way, and then go into the free?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. Yeah. Let's begin with our Civil War radio segment. And as a reminder,
now,
yes.
I know you're going to tell us
yes.
that it's civil because we get along with each other. But sometimes we disagree, and that's the war part. Right. But
it's working.
In the end, we are not drawing any blood.
Correct. All right. So, I know. Thank you for that introduction. The other night, I was flipping channels, and there's a new popular game show. I'm not going to mention any names. But one of the questions that a young lady in her probably her late 20s to mid-30s had to answer to move on to the next $100,000 winner bracket was three very simple questions. And I'm going to ask you guys not to answer this question because I know you know the answer.
Okay.
I'm going to ask listeners to make a comment either on Facebook Live, if you want, or on our Civil War Radio page, which they can join because it's a group. But if they make the right comments, there's going to be two questions related to what was on this game show. I think that I might throw in some type of spiff. How's this sound for an idea? I will give you a $25 gift certificate to the business of your choice in Ontario County, our listening area, which also covers part of Fairport. So in other words, if you win, you contact me, and I will give you a $25 gift certificate to any place, business of your choice in our listening area. So you got to give me the right answers and tell me the business, and we'll see if...
What's the question?
All right.
Well, he's going to go into the question.
First question.
Okay. I thought maybe
that's Tim's polite way to say, come on.
No, I thought I missed the question. Though.
No. First question. There's going to be two questions, and this is the one that the young lady could not answer. What are the three branches of our United States government? I don't want answers. Because I know
we can't answer this.
You
no, we've
can't
already
answer.
Covered this. Right?
Yes, we have. Yes,
thanks,
we have.
Thanks to Armin, we know the answer.
Yes. This poor lady, she struggled. And finally, they had to send her down the tube because that's part of this game show.
Okay.
All right. The floor comes out and she disappears down the tube. I don't know where she is. She's still probably traveling.
Should your question really be what three levels of government do we have?
Three branches.
Three branches,
yes.
After 5 o'clock today?
After 5 o'clock today.
Then it'll be none.
Oh, that's right, because they're on hiatus, which is a good jumble word.
So all right. Second question.
All right, let me look through my notes here. I apologize because I didn't have the, like a dummy, I didn't have. We'll get to the second question. So you got to listen.
Okay.
Ah, you got to listen, listeners, to get to the second question. We're going to make it tough. Well, that's part of it. All right. So now today, we're going to talk about the last two articles of the U.S. Constitution. Those are Article 6 and Article 7. And again, I'm going to try not to read because I know how boring that can be. But from time to time, I'm going to have to just to make sure we're accurate. So Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution is often referred to as the Supremacy Clause, which means that federal law might preempt or override state law.
Mm.
Or the Constitution might even preempt federal law. Because believe it or not, the smart people in Washington and Albany do make mistakes, just like us. And sometimes they've written some bad law. One will come to mind as we can go through.
Prohibition, maybe?
I mean, that's a good one. Prohibition, that didn't work very well. It was found to be unconstitutional, so they made another amendment to override it. But I was thinking about the one before the Civil War, where Fugitive Slave Act. Are you guys familiar with that one? Where there was a law, a federal law, that said that if you own a slave and that person escapes to another state, the other state had to return that slave back to you.
Was the slave owner named FICA?
It is today. Yes, we have. Yes, it is today. We'll get as Mr. FICA to you.
Mr. FICA.
All right, enough of that. But that's the six, Article 6. Let me see if there's anything more important that we could talk on. If you guys get any questions, just jump right in. In the last paragraph of Article 6, here's where I'm going to do some reading because it's well stated. The Founding Fathers wrote this pretty well. It does cause a little bit of confusion, but here it goes. The senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislators and all the executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. So they have to swear an oath to support the Constitution. Next part. But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. And the reason why I wanted to mention that, the religious test, because after today, we're going to move into the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. And I just thought of the second question. Listeners, I'm not going to say this. You guys don't say this. We'll probably accidentally mention it throughout the show. But what are the first 10 amendments to our U.S. Constitution called? Do not answer, men.
Okay.
Melissa? Okay. So that's for us listeners. So if you could answer those two questions, name the three branches of government, and what are the first 10 amendments to our U.S. Constitution called, referred to. Then I will honor my duty and get you a gift certificate for a place of your choice. Of course, it could be right here, Iron Mike's Military Exchange. That would be a great place to spend $25. You can get a lot of stuff here for $25.
You can.
True. All right. Any questions about that, guys?
No, supremacy.
Melissa, any question? Anything come up? Should we move on then? I think we're moving pretty good. Let me just double-check my notes here. All right. Let's move on to Article 7, and then at the very end, we'll just recap the last paragraph of the U.S. Constitution, and we'll even mention some of the signers.
Okay.
Okay? So there's some names that you'll recognize.
One or two.
Be thinking, who from New York signed this document? All right, so Article 7, very short. I like it. It's the ratification clause. The ratification of the convention of nine states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this constitution between the states, so ratifying the same. So that last article, Article 7, made it official. They had to have...
9 of the 13 states.
Yep, which if you do the math, that figures out to be about 69.2%.
Okay.
Is there a problem with that? And I got to thinking, scratching my head. Is there a problem with that?
Well, you have to be over 65, right?
Two-thirds? 66. 67. But this is a ratification. It has to be over three-fourths, which is...
75%.
75%. So I got to say, oh, my gosh, the math didn't work out. This thing's no good. So what I realized doing a little research is that I believe it was Rhode Island. Rhode Island, for some reason, didn't show up.
Yeah, they would not send representatives. And the reason they wouldn't send representatives is because they didn't want a federal government. They felt the state should be the supreme government of the land.
Yep.
And so they refused to send representatives to the Constitutional Convention.
So there was only 12 there, and 9 divided by 12, or if you reduce it like we learned in math, right?
Right.
The same as, 9 divided by 3 leaves 3, 12 divided by 3 leaves 4. That's the same as 3/4, which convert that into a percentage, it's... 75%. Ding, 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 ding. The math works out. So that was Article 7. Now the very last paragraph, and I'm done. I see Timmy questions.
No, I'm enjoying this.
Stop me at any time. Sometimes I could ramble on. That's another good song I'm going to put on my...
I could ramble on.
Ramble on.
Oh, rambling man.
Yeah. So last paragraph, I'm going to read this one. Done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present the 7th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1787, and of the independence of the United States of America the 12th in witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names. And then there's a list of names. I didn't count them. I believe there's like 52 or 53. But the important ones that I want to mention is that from New York, we only had one that signed it, Alexander Hamilton. And one of my favorite men from history, from Pennsylvania, Benjamin Franklin, also signed it. Who didn't sign it that often gets confused with the signer? You guys got any guesses who didn't sign it? But a lot of people think
he w-
Yes, very good.
Thomas
Melissa,
Jefferson
Thomas Jefferson. Where was Thomas Jefferson at the signing of this?
He was stationed overseas, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
An envoy to some European
France,
country?
I believe, yeah. Okay. Very good. You guys are doing good. I like it. I like it. So by New York state law, around September 17th of every year, we're supposed to recognize the Constitution. It's called Constitution Day. And I think as we get closer to September, that we should bring that out, and hopefully people will pay attention, especially here at the Canandaigua Academy, Victor High School.
It's on September 17th.
There or abouts. Usually, I know Finger Lakes College usually does something pretty close to that date, September 17th. Did I say December?
No, September.
Did I say? Okay. I thought maybe I might have misspoke. But it should be September. Last question and I'm done, because this confused me for a while. But I think Mike's going to figure it out, and Tim, I think you're going to figure it out. Melissa, I'm pretty sure you guys can figure it out. When I read that last sentence, independence of the United States of America, the 12th in witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names. And I'm thinking, 12th in witness whereof. What's that mean today in modern language? What? How would we say that today? What is it? First of all, what's it mean, and how would we say it? That's two questions.
Well, you have your witnesses to a contract.
Okay. The 12th part kind of threw me off.
Okay, so my assumption when I heard that was that there were 12 states present, not 13.
Very good.
Because Rhode Island wasn't there.
Yes.
So the 12th would be the 12 states that were present.
You're right. You're right. Because I looked at all the names, and there's 50-something names. I was like, there's more than 12, but you're right. It was referring to the 12 states that were present. Okay. And that's pretty much all I've got today. I just want to remind people that we're moving into those first 10 amendments. I almost blew it. I didn't say what they're called. So we're going to start with the First Amendment. That'll probably take a good segment. And then we'll get into – we might bunch them up, because I'm hoping to get to the 16th Amendment by around April 15th of 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the goal. So, all right, I'm done.
Now don't force it. That was – you already had your wow segment.
Okay, so here I'm thinking, you know, 16th Amendment by April. Here we are, late January – middle January anyways, right? And we've got to get through 15 before we get there. And we're talking about the freedom of the press. We're talking about the the right to bear arms.
If you listen to the show, you'd find out that I actually do outro music.
Oh, I do. I listen to the show. Okay, enough of that.
The Tax Man, the Beatles?
Yeah.
So I'm still curious, though. Was there a, you know, when the federal government can override the state and the Constitution overrides the federal government, is there a clarification of who's the final authority? It should be the Constitution.
It is the Constitution. That's why the Supreme Court comes about after the Constitution was ratified. So, and we'll get to that as we move down the path here of history. But the Supreme Court's role as part of the judiciary is to – some people use interpret the Constitution. Other people today think it's to make law, but that's never been the Supreme Court's role. So the Supreme Court has the ability to review federal law and determine if it's violating our U.S. Constitution. So the U.S. Constitution is supposed to be the supreme law of the land.
Right. Good.
Okay. Some people argue, though, that today in Washington, they're rewriting the Constitution every day through agency regulation, through federal court decisions, through Supreme Court decisions. And that's part of the reason why we're doing Civil War Radio, again, is to educate people to what the American way of government is and how we're so far astray from it today that we got to be more involved to bring it back to the rule book, the U.S. Constitution. So,
yeah, I'm definitely, you know, it's fun. Actually, I learn a lot. I've had people tell me that they're enjoying this segment of the show,
good,
that they're learning. And people, you know, most of us want to learn.
Yeah.
And have stuff clarified. You know, maybe when you're 20s, you don't really care as much, which I think lately is not the case. I think the people in their 20s actually care more right now because they know that things are changing fast on them. But we all usually want to know this as we get older.
Do I have time to repeat the quick quiz questions?
Sure.
Yeah, no, go ahead, because we still got to talk about modern day.
So, all right, here we go. There's two quick quiz questions for our listeners to either comment. You could even call in if you want. I set up an office number. You can leave a message on there. It's a 585-643-5956 number that you can leave your answer on the voicemail if you want. But the first question is, name the three branches of government. I probably should have taken the three out because we probably would have got 10 different branches.
Well,
but no,
okay.
let's narrow
three
it down.
Three branches of government.
Yes, name the three branches of government. And question number two is, what are the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution referred to or called, commonly known as? Okay. That's it.
I like it.
All
good.
Right. Thank you.
And you'll win a $25 gift certificate.
Oh, I forgot that part. To a business of your choice in our listening area, which covers pretty much, what, from Fairport to Geneva, right? East side.
Yeah, Geneva all the way up to Rochester.
So east side of Monroe County, the northwest side of Ontario County, the west side over to Geneva of
Ontario
east
County.
Side, east side of Ontario County, over to Geneva, Canandaigua, and so on. Just tell us where you heard us and where you're from, and we'll find a place for you to frequent, you know, whatever you find.
Yeah.
Okay?
Cool.
Okay.
All right, so tell us about the impending doom that is today, a government shutdown. I mean, you know, we always hear government shutdown before, but you kind of go, well, you know they're going to pass, which was what they did last time, right? They gave like a little Band-Aid for the next, 3 months?
Right. They're called continuing resolutions, and they've been using continuing resolutions to keep our government running instead of passing a budget.
How long?
Which is what they're supposed to do. I think for at least 4 months.
You know, and the word resolution, too, a lot of people get confused by that because we even in the city of Canandaigua have resolutions. It's a strong statement. That's all a resolution is. It's not a law. It's not a regulation. People break resolutions. Think a New Year's resolution, right? How many of us have broken our New Year's resolution already? So a resolution is nothing more than a strong statement. And, Tim, I just want to remind you, if people are listening to us live or Saturday morning, right, they're listening to us.
Saturday morning, 8 to 10, and an encore performance Sunday afternoon on WOKR 1310, 2 to 4. So now our shows are back together again.
As we were saying earlier, a government is closed, and they were closed last Monday on January 15th for Martin Luther King Day. So it's been shut down periodically.
Martin Luther King Day?
Yeah.
Armin, I got up. I went to work. I hung out. I did stuff. There was some kind of impact, but I don't remember feeling it.
You didn't feel it at all?
I don't know. Shouldn't
did you try
I have?
Going to the post office that day or to the bank?
No, I sent my wife.
Oh. Yeah.
She found out. Nothing's open.
Yeah. So you didn't feel the pain and suffering?
No.
You're not. You must be one of those independent Americans.
Huh.
That doesn't really feel a need that the government overlords have to run your life.
So, but the big standoff is what? It's either the we pass DACA, and then our troops can get paid.
Yeah.
Or we pass what? A different DACA, so that there's a border wall.
Protection.
Right. So what? So kids can now. If which way is it? Explain it. There's obviously there's a standoff.
There's a standoff.
And a standoff right to the last hour of the day, and they keep somebody keeps throwing. Something happens one way or the other, and our troops don't get paid. And would you do that to your troops over immigrants?
Yeah.
But we're also talking about children who've been here a while. So if it gets passed, can you explain all that?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it as simple as I can understand it. So there's, like most political issues, there's at least two sides. And there's one side in Congress says that we're not going to sign any bill to fund the government unless we get a law that protects some of the people that were brought into, snuck into, came into this country across borders from other countries, either with a visa that's expired or illegally with no paperwork. So there's a, that's one of the groups saying that we're not going to move on this until you give us what we want.
And what do we, or what does the other side want? They want a wall?
The other side...
Or is that not a part
I don't of even this? Think that's part of this particular issue about the wall, because I've read, and here's where I have to apologize, because for every one thing you read, there's an opposing thing that sounds credible. So we're getting, again, that filter from the media down to us common folk. But I've read that there's been funding for a wall approved, so I don't think that's part of this issue. And here's where I really get confused. If I know math pretty good, I think one side has the numbers in both the House and the Senate to get what they want done if everybody sticks to their side. So I'm confused about this whole controversy unless some people that pretend to be on one side aren't with these issues. Is that am I getting too confused here?
Well, I think you can't always rely on the people in your party seeing eye to eye on every issue, right? So like with the DACA issue, okay? On the one side, you have Democrats calling for protecting these children who, through no fault of their own, their parents immigrated, brought them in to the country, and now, you know, risk being thrown out of the country. They may have been here 20, 30 years. No other country, you know, were brought in probably as infants and whatnot. So, you know, Democrats are saying, you know, we need to protect these children. On the other hand, you have the Republicans who say, yeah, that's important, but it's also important that we have comprehensive immigration reform. Mm-hmm. And by comprehensive immigration reform, it covers much more than just DACA. It also includes a wall, and it also includes ways of protecting our country from waves of immigrants coming into this country illegally. So they're... The Republicans are saying we need to stand up and get comprehensive reform and not just DACA reform. So that's basically what it's coming down to.
Was it Ben Franklin that said, believe nothing that you hear and half of what you read?
Yeah.
Was that Ben Franklin? And it's so true, even today, with our social media. Because people throw things out, like we were talking about that website that was pretty much a spoof. You know, people throw things out there, and there's a good chance that a number of people will believe it. So I'm the type of person that likes to see things in order. So if I've got six things to do, I don't do the multitasking thing because I find that to be multi-confusing. So what I'll do is I'll get number one done. I prioritize. Try to get number one done so I can move on to the second. I think most of us are that way. But this comprehensive... No. Okay, forget that. I thought wrong again. Don't always believe what you think.
I should show you the other half of this tablet. I write down the things I need to do.
Yeah.
And I do 10% of that one, 50% of that one. Oh. Never get to the third one. Work on the fourth one. Accomplish that. And then I go, yuck. Now I have to do the one I don't want to do.
Okay.
I think it's an ADD thing. I don't know.
I don't understand when people say they need to build the wall, because the wall has always been there. They need a continuation of building the wall.
I think there was a graphic that they posted, if it's true. But the wall will be so much better if they rebuild it. They have a better wall. The current wall isn't good enough for, you know, it's been there. People have dug tunnels under it. They've managed to find a way to push whole blocks all the way out and climb through. And our border guards have to go, you know, obviously outside of the wall. And they travel around in cars that are wrapped up in cages so that they don't get a rock thrown right on top of their head. So, you know, everything needs to be modernized. You know, it is a bad place. It is a war zone of sorts. Our border guards suffer. Illegals get through, and not just so much as, you know, the poor illegal who's just poor and wants a better life, but something like, of the ones that come across the border, if this is true, 70% of them are nefarious. It's for drug trade, it's part of an ISIS thing, it's part of countries that are completely banned. It's not just the poor family with the poor kid who needs, you know, better health, better labor, you know, make money. There's a lot of our really bad elements are coming in under that guise. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you think it's not true. One of the people that they arrested locally, right, he was definitely part of ISIS. And when I first saw him, he had on, and I thought it was amazing when I figured it out, long, brown, curly hair, the beard. But he had on a South American soccer jersey. And I thought, oh, look at this guy. He might be an illegal or an immigrant from South America. He's up here now. And then he spoke Arabic. But he wanted everybody to think, you know who I'm talking about?
I worked with him in the jail.
Oh, well, we have quite a connection, him and I. But he spoke Arabic. And I thought, look at that. You know, because you hear them say that's how they're getting in. And yet you don't really believe it. You go, well, yeah, you're just on the far right. Of course you'd say that. And yet it's true. And I saw it. And if I see it, what does Benjamin Franklin say about that? I mean, I'm seeing it. Mm-hmm. I'm touching it. I know what I'm seeing.
Well, you didn't read it, and you didn't hear about it. You saw it, so you got to be like 100% accurate, I would think, or close to it.
I always find that kind of thing is very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it exists. You know, there evil does exist in this world, and depending on what side you're on, you may not perceive you to be on an evil side. So going back to World War II, because we like history, I think everybody in this room likes history, I don't believe that Adolf Hitler and the people of the Nazi Party believed what they were doing was evil. I could be wrong, but I think they thought they were on the right side. And I've even read that Adolf Hitler, he may have had definitely some Jewish background as well as Christian background in his growing up in his life. So we've talked about right and wrong many times.
Had they appreciated Adolf Hitler as the artist that he wanted to be, there would have been no World War II. Had they just said, you're a great artist, be an artist. I'm being facetious.
Yes.
But there is sort of that chance in his life that if somebody had liked his artwork, He might not have ever said, you know what, screw art, I'm going to become a dictator.
Yeah. I mean, bringing it again to today, there are many people that I've talked to, and I'm sure you guys can agree to this, that think Trump is borderline evil, maniacal, crazy.
See, and I have a whole different opinion because word was going out in the Christian community just before Trump accepted the nomination as president that he had a conversion of faith and that he's actually right now, since the election, like just prior to or the end of the election, at the very least, a Christian. I don't know which type of Christian. There's over 500 kinds of Baptists, so I don't know. But he had a conversion of faith. But as Christians know, he's now a baby Christian. So every day he's learning, he's taking in the milk, and he's going, well, maybe I could do better over here. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. You feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you grow. And soon, he's a smart man, he'll eat meat. Christian meat, and he'll grow. He'll grow in his stature as a young Christian. And I think it's true. I've actually had a lot. He's had a lot of talks with the son of...
Billy Graham?
The other guy. Oh, I hate when I don't know names. Of a great religious college.
Well, he has Huckabee's daughter on his staff.
Yep. See, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, and Huckabee is a preacher, too, as by trade. Not only was he governor of Arkansas, I think it was.
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. You got me stumped.
And he ran for president. And also, you know, I'm hoping he's growing in the job.
I think he is. But, yeah. he's a reality show success. And there is this part of his personality. We didn't elect some quiet guy who was, sitting in a laboratory somewhere. We wanted a man who will stand up against everybody else and in theory cannot be corrupted because he has money. He felt the ability to speak against everybody else because he owes nobody anything. Mm. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. You know, and I got to say, I don't like all the anti-racism thing because if you look into his past, if you look into his staff, and if you look at how the left side loved him, Oprah Winfrey, everybody else, and he even said once about the Clintons, he goes, they love me. I give them money. So, you know, it just seems like we'll just keep throwing stuff on somebody until finally it sticks.
Have you heard the new Ruse News?
Ruse News.
Ruse News.
I like the Ruse News.
The Ruse News is the Girther movement. You've heard about
Girther movement.
Girth.
As opposed to the Earther movement.
Oh, the Girther.
The Girther movement. And yeah, there's a bunch of smart people that have media access and network TV that are questioning the doctor who examined President Trump and saying that I believe he's 239 pounds. And if he's actually 6'3", that's okay. But his driver's license might say 6'2". And according to these new charts that came out recently, he is obese. That's the Girther movement. So I guess President Obama had the Birther movement. Was he really born in America? Is he a natural-born citizen?
See, obviously, they don't remember. It was only a few years ago where Donald Trump was in the wrestling ring for WWE, crushing Vince McMahon, who's in great shape. So, I mean, you just don't go from nearly being a championship wrestler to president, and a lack of 10 pounds affects your health? I don't think so.
The poor guy, he does stuff I can't do, right? He doesn't smoke. Tim, we smoke on occasion, right?
Oh, I think a few of us smoke.
He doesn't drink. I can't. I've had... Mike, glass of wine
every night.
I find that a little bit of ginger brandy settles my stomach, helps me go to sleep. I used to take the, you know, when you feel those colds coming on, especially working in the schools, in the fall and the winter, the holiday times, you start to get the runny nose and the scratchy throat. So I tried the NyQuil stuff. It wake me up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. I couldn't sleep through the night. So somebody turned me on, older gentleman turned me on. They said, try some ginger brandy. It's good for your stomach because it has ginger in it. And the brandy is good for your head, I guess. Because it helps me sleep through the night without getting up and sweating.
Right.
So, anyways, I guess my doctor says I could always stand to lose a few pounds.
Yeah, my doctor tells me the same thing, and that's why I'm not qualified to speak to this girther movement.
Yeah, me either. They should put that poster up. Put that poster up right when you go into the doctor's office. The two things that they always say, you can lose a few pounds and your cholesterol is high.
Actually, my cholesterol used to be high, and it's not as bad anymore. They put me on a statin, and I understand the presence on a statin as well to help control his cholesterol.
All right.
And so now my cholesterol levels are much better and in range of what they're supposed to be. I can't tell you off the top of my head what my numbers are. I'm supposed to know those things. But
good. You got that.
Mine's 742.
Nice.
So
nice.
I wanted to start a new segment. For the weeks when we don't have a guest.
Okay.
How about, who is the most interesting person or people that you met this week? And it has to be current week. So if you've met nobody, radio worthy, then don't say. You know, just start pulling out famous people, you know. I sat elbow to elbow to Danny DeVito, and I'm not going to tell that story today. You know,
this week you met Danny?
No, because it wouldn't fit, because it wasn't this week.
Yeah. It's got to be this week. That's a tough one.
So I want to, I want to give a shout out to a guy named Boz, who, you'll like this, he saw this, and he goes, oh, can I buy that? And I said, oh, you're a veteran, a soldier? Because mostly Army was there. And it says this, I'm showing people at home, it's a patch says Bosnian veteran. And he goes, well, I'm kind of a Bosnian veteran. As it turns out, this big fella, but not the biggest fella I'm going to tell you about, when he was 16 or 17, he's a Christian over in Bosnia, and he fought on our side. Not against us, on our side, which I'm sure is the reason why he's here. So it won him a trip to the United States, where now he can speak seven different languages. And he's quite comfortable. He's really into the Constitution. Has a lot of his, he's done a lot of battling already against what's the government can do, what they can't do. But, you know, people from oppressed countries really, truly believe in our freedom and the freedom that we have. So they almost use it more. So anyways, that's Boz. And then another gentleman who listens to this show, and by the way, thinks we're funny. I like that. Paul A. Scipione. He wrote this book, Shades of Gray, which I'm going to read. And awesome gentleman. This book is about Vietnam. And I'm assuming from our talk that there's a lot of funny stories in here. And by the title, Shades of Gray, I kind of like that because I always say that I live in a gray type of life. You know, I wish my life was black and white, but life is very seldom black and white, and there's always this gray area. So I'm assuming that this is stories of the gray areas of military life, especially during war. So we're going to read that, and we're going to have him on as a guest. But then my third guy, and I'm probably going to say his name wrong, but I think it's Biembe. Now, Biembe is an amazing American story. He started out his life in Africa. Somehow, through investors in Rochester, they went to Africa, and I've met these people. If I had a lot of money, and I actually knew the name of this company, which I don't and never cared to ask, they believe if you're going to invest with them, they absolutely put hands on the investment. So they go to Africa, and they find riches and stuff that they know you want to invest in, and they can physically touch it. But it's not safe to walk around Africa, and you don't know where you're going if you're just born and raised in Rochester, New York. So they hire Miembe, and he made a deal with them. If you, the finance investment company, put water wells in all of our villages, I'll show you and make sure you're safe. So they, in turn, got him a visa. He came over to America. Now, when he comes in the store the first time, he's 6'7". Right?
Almost got a duck to get through the door.
And he looks in my display case, and he goes, "Can I look at that knife?" He spoke with an accent, but he spoke good English. And I pull out the knife, and he holds the knife. He's looking at it. Now I go back to talking to these guys who are buying Gore-Tex jackets and stuff like that for their next trip. And all of a sudden he goes, "Now this is a knife you could kill a lion with." And I go, "How would you know that?" And so he tells me his background. I said, "Well, if anybody would know, you know, a guide through the jungle or through the parts of Africa, what would take to kill a lion, I guess he would know." So get this. Years later, he comes back. Not working for the firm anymore. He joined our United States Army. He goes in enlisted. Now, either somewhere before he went in, he earned himself a four-year degree. So he has a degree. Goes in enlisted, basic training, AIT, gets up the NCO ranks. And then they say, "Why do you have a four-year degree? Why are you not an officer?" So they put him through OCS. Now, today, he's the rank of captain in the U.S. Army, and he's in one of our elite branches of service. And he's put on, you ready for this? Since I met him, 100 pounds of muscle. Wow. So he's 286 pounds, 6'7". And when he leaves, he shakes my hand, covers it all up with one hand, and he goes, my friend. And I go, I'm glad I'm his friend. Those are my success stories for this week. I love the people that come in the store. Some aren't so great, but the ones that are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So one person I met this week is Janet Zink. And you guys probably have no idea who Janet Zink is, but Janet has actually served close to 20 years on the Henrietta Town Board. She also is an instructor at MCC. She teaches the travel courses over there, and she's done that for a number of years. And my wife and I own a travel agency, so we had a travel gathering, and she was at this dinner, and it was the first time I've seen her in many years, and she usually was not able to attend these dinners because her meetings were on Wednesday night with the Henrietta Town Board, so she couldn't make those. And it turns out that Henrietta is a town where Jack Moore is from, and Jack Moore is the one who is being charged with kind of harassing some employees from the town, driving by their house, beeping the horn, that kind of thing. And Janet was saying, "Yeah, I was kind of getting fed up with things and, you know, felt it was the right time to get out of there." And so she has ended her political career and is looking forward to doing some more traveling. So,
very nice.
Now, I haven't met anybody new this week, but I mentioned earlier that I had an opportunity to go to see the movie The Post. So if it's okay, I just briefly, I guess you can say I didn't meet the person face-to-face. But
you can do a movie review.
Let's do
quick. Okay, but don't
give away the plot.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Right. Spoiler alert.
I won't give away any of the the good stuff.
But you said it starred Tom Hanks.
Yes. Tom Hanks plays the editor of the Washington Post back in the early 70s. This is before Watergate. It's when Vietnam is a huge issue, and we're talking about getting out. Nixon is president, and I think most of us have heard about the Pentagon Papers. So that's what this story is about. Daniel Ellsberg is a reporter. He worked for RAND Corporation, which had a lot to do with the government and the military especially.
Military contracts.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's all I'll say about it. My overall review is that I think it's Hollywood's attempt to try to reestablish their credibility along with the media, Hollywood and the media, because watching it, I got the impression that all of the people working for the media are very noble, and they're working for just causes. And that may not be the case as we're experiencing today when we look at the news. So that's my takeaway from the movie. I'd like to hear if somebody else has something different if you get a chance to see it. But I left the theater thinking it's Hollywood and the major media's attempt to reestablish their credibility.
Now, I have to ask you a question about that movie because I saw the preview, some of the previews for the movie, and I thought this was basically the story of Katharine Graham. Mm-hmm. Yes, no?
Yeah.
I mean, is she highly featured in this? Is this talking like about a powerful woman? And
yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay.
And there's good. That's a good comment because there's Meryl Streep plays Miss Graham.
Okay.
She took over the Washington Post. I believe it was her husband that started it up. So she wanted to keep that company together for her family. And I didn't realize this because I was a young person. I was down in Washington, D.C. when this stuff was going on, but I wasn't paying attention. I was trying to get my grades up. You know, so the Times and the Post were having a head-to-head competition for who's going to scoop the other, and the Post wasn't doing well financially, as well as with having the news break that keeps them ahead of the times. So there's a little bit of that there, too. But, yeah, that's a good observation, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a shame because, you know, print media seems to be going by the wayside, and most of us are getting our news online nowadays, things like that. And, you know, the newspaper industry is one that I'm going to miss greatly. But I think its days are numbered, and I think most people can see that. So,
or you can get your news from WOKR, 1310 AM.
That's right. We're always behind the news. Behind the news. No, actually, we're the first in local news, WOKR 1310.
And we'll be right back with some more news from Canandaigua 2020.
That's right.
Good segue.
Three men and a microphone, and we will be right back with Mike Yarger, Armin Marinetti, Melissa Walker, and myself, Corporal Tim Thornton.
When you hear the phrase, boots on the ground, that phrase means our men and women that are in the American Armed Forces. And that means they're ready to fight. They wear the very best gear America has to offer. I'm talking the very best in leather, Gore-Tex, Finsulate, three-layer Vibram soles, Nomex, side zippers, and stitching. Quality that the civilian market can't even come close to offering. When you say quality, you want U.S. government issue. Iron Mike's is the leading distributor for military government contractors. They offer jump boots, Mickey boots, jungle boots, SWAT boots, sniper boots, steel toe, Navy deck boots, and Marine Corps and Army desert boots. Corafram low quarter shoes, mucklucks, extreme cold weather, and lightweight tactical boots in 6, 8, and 10 inches. Iron Mike's takes trade-ins of all your old military boots. Iron Mike's is located at 2485 State Route 332 in Canandaigua. Check us out online at ironmikes.co.
Clerical, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party.
hear me? How long I've been on? Welcome, enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge. Fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Mono Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage boxers and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation of the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
Every man can grow a beard. However, your beard can become a great beard when using Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Care Products. Using Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Care Products promotes a softer, fuller beard, while also keeping skin healthy and hydrated underneath. Our products will help to control strays. Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Oil will help replace the oils we lose while washing and help to condition your facial forest. Try Mud Creek Apothecary Beard Balm for a light hold while softening and promoting your manly growth. Remember the name Mud Creek Apothecary, my bearded friends. And as always, stay strong and beard on.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home, used, pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
He don't slip and he don't slide.
He don't slip and he don't slide.
Because he is a magnetized.
Because he is a magnetized.
Well, I think he's keen and I think he's cool.
I think he's keen and I think he's cool.
He'll walk across your swimming pool.
He'll walk across your swimming pool.
Now my plastic Jesus, hey, he's got to go.
My plastic Jesus, hey, he's got to go.
Cause his magnet's messing up my radio.
Magnet's messing up my radio.
Singing Lord-a-lay-o.
Lord-a-lay-o.
Thank you for listening to the Combat Radio Network. on Channel 1310 WOKR. This has been the Civil War Radio, and coming up next, Three Men and a Microphone. You can check us out every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and every Sunday afternoon, an encore performance, 2 in the afternoon to 4 p.m. Thank you again for listening to Combat Radio Network, brought to you by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, where they are 5,000 feet of pure 100% military.